Bibles today to Exodus chapter 28, as we've been studying through this particular passage in regards to the garments of the priest and what was given for them to wear. And as we've been discussing concerning these things, all of these instruments, all of these things in regards to the worship of God here in the wilderness, all of them are pointing. Every detail is pointing in some way to Christ Jesus. And so this is especially true in regards to the elements of the high priest's clothing and the things that they are wearing. All of these things are pointing to the work of our Lord Jesus, His person, His perfection, His deity, His humanity in the sense of what He had come to do, in the sacrifice that He made. All of these things are pointing to Him, so that when He would come, the Jews would have a reference point that they could look to. They can understand, oh, right here it is. I mean, this is what it's symbolizing here, and here Jesus is fulfilling that. And so they had some reference points besides the many prophecies that were, you know, over 300 prophecies concerning Him. His coming, His birth, His life, His miracles, His death, His burial, His resurrection, over 300 of those that our Lord fulfilled. And then on top of it, all of these symbols that are pointing to Him as well. And so He's the object of the whole book. He's not just the object of the New Testament. He's the object of the Old Testament as well. It's all pointing to Him. And so all of these things that God is given here to Moses in regards to what He's expecting him to build and to make and to show forth, all of it is pointing to the Lord Jesus. And again, it's the reason why the Lord made sure they did it exactly, made it and built it and sewed it and wove it exactly like He demanded it to be made in order to display this picture of Christ that He has given to the children of Israel. And last time we looked at the robe of the ephod and with the pomegranates and the bells around the hem of that garment. And today we're going to look, beginning in verse 36, we're going to look at the crown or the mitre. It is the priest hat, the high priest hat that was worn and what it displays. And then we'll be even looking here in verse 40 and down through verse 42 in the undergarments of the priest and what they'd wear. And then chapter 40 or verse 43, the similar outfits that were given to Aaron's sons for them to wear as well. Theirs was not as decorative, nor was it as ornate in many of the ways as the high priest outfit was, but it was similar. They looked like the priest of the Lord there. But we're going to try to get through all of these particular verses today as we finish up the outfit or the clothing of the priest. Now, He tells us, begins in verse 36, "Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engraving of a signet." That word plate is actually the Hebrew word for flour. And so apparently this plate that He makes of pure gold is in some way shaped like some flour that was placed on the forehead of the priest, on this mitre, this hat that would be made. This was the first thing that the Lord instructs them on what is to be made, is this outer plate of the mitre. It's to be made of pure gold and grave upon it, He said, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. So in other words, it was engraved on it in such a way that it stood out from the rest, so it could be as if it was a signet, like a signet ring. It was to be a signet upon the forehead of the priest, holiness to the Lord. "And thou shalt put it on, rather, a blue lace that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. So it's tied or sewn to the front of the mitre with a blue lace that holds it in place. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And of Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, and they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. And so this is the description of the rest of the priest's clothing here. Now we begin with this mitre, or this hat. It's called, down here in verse number 40, it's called a bonnet. In the sense of how it's made, it would appear, as you can see on your picture there, it would most likely appear in such a way like a turban or something that they would wear on their heads. But it was wrapped there. In fact, the high priest, his stood taller than the rest of the priests, and his had the gold plate on the front of it that said "Holiness to the Lord" on that particular plate. A plate of pure gold engraved with those words that was tied to the front of the mitre. And it would symbolize there the sin bearing of the high priest as he would carry away for the children of Israel. The word bear means to carry away. That he would in type carry away the sin of the children of Israel before the presence of the Lord, which is what our Lord would ultimately do for us when he would come. So this was a symbol of that, as the high priest would carry that away. He comes in the presence of the Lord, being that holiness to the Lord, that one separated for that purpose, and he would be the one that would carry away that sin for us. And so this is representative. This hat that the priest would wear is representative of that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. That he would enter in with that holiness, that he would be the holiness to the Lord, that would enter in for us and bear our sins upon himself and carry it away for us from the presence of the Lord. That we might be made holy, that we might be made righteous before the throne of God. This is exactly what our Lord accomplished for us. In Hebrews chapter number 9, we read there in verse number 26, Hebrews 9 and verse number 26, he says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Our Lord did it with one offering of himself. He took away all the sins of his people. They are all removed in that one sacrifice for us. And so this is what's represented here by this high priestly mitre, his hat that Aaron was to wear. Now hold your place here in Exodus. Go back with me to Zechariah chapter number 3. Zechariah the prophet has received some visions from the Lord. There were 10 of these visions that he received. And one of these here in chapter 3 has to do with the sins of Israel. And specifically, he sees Joshua, the high priest, in this vision. And we see these garments that are made mention of here Exodus chapter 28. We see these garments mentioned here in chapter 3 in this particular vision he has of Joshua. And it says here in verse 1, "He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord." Every time you read that particular title, the angel of the Lord, that is speaking there of the pre-incarnate Christ. And so this is one of the Godhead that he is standing before. "And Satan standing at the right hand to resist him." This is Satan's purpose. This is what he does. This is what we see from the beginning and even until now, the work of Satan, and that is he is the accuser of the brethren. He goes about seeking how he might destroy us to try in some way to thwart the will of God. And so here, even in this vision, Zechariah receives here, he sees this vision of Satan accusing Joshua the high priest. Now he was the high priest at the time that Zechariah wrote these prophecies down. And so Satan, before, in Zechariah's vision, the high priest Joshua is there in the presence of the Lord, standing before him. And Satan is there making accusation against Joshua there before him. One of the things that we recognize, and it's one of the things that the Scriptures tell us, that we see as a reality for us, even as all of us as the children of God, not just the high priest in this time, but for all of us, is we are in constant warfare. And that warfare is a spiritual warfare. As Paul would tell us there in Ephesians chapter 6, that we need to don or have on the whole armor of God, because that battle, that spiritual battle, is constantly going on around us in our lives. And we are engaged in that battle, whether we recognize it or not, whether we're in the mood to fight or not, that doesn't matter. We are engaged in a spiritual battle each and every day. And this battle that's going on is Satan's work and the work of his minions to try to tear down the people of God, to keep us beaten down, to keep us cowering from the fight, so that he can destroy, if he can, and that's what he seeks to do, is destroy the witness of Christ in this world, and in some way try to thwart the will of God, which he'll never be able to do that. But we can be defeated in this battle that we are facing each and every day. And so we have to be mindful of the reality that we're in a battle. And the fact that this battle is going on, if we could see this battle, it would be astonishing to us. That I don't know that we'd be able to handle it, to tell you the truth. I don't know that we'd be able to, we would be able to stand up under the weight of it, to recognize the immensity of the battle that's going on around us. We see examples of it given to us in the Scripture, in Daniel, when he is praying, and he prays for those 21 days before Gabriel comes and brings him the answer. And he tells Daniel, after he comes to give him the answer, he said, "I left 21 days ago to bring you this answer, but Satan stopped me and was fighting with me, and I fought with him all this time until Michael came along, and he took over the fight so that I could come on and bring you the answer to what you were looking for." Elisha, he's on the mountain, and he's got his servant there, and the army of the enemies are coming against him, and there's a great mass of them coming through the valley up to get Elisha. All of this army is coming to kill that one man, coming to kill Elisha. And his servant says, "Master, look at the army that's coming at us. They're going to get us." And Elisha said, "Listen, the those that are on our side is a lot greater in number than those that are coming against us." And he said, "What are you talking about? It's just me and you." And Elisha prayed and asked the Lord to open his servant's eyes. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and said, all around them was a throng of heavenly angels that was guarding Elisha. And they come down upon that enemy that was coming against Elisha and wiped him out there in the sight of he and his servant there. We are in a constant warfare. And Satan is constantly bringing accusation against the people of God. Satan, as we find in the book of Job, is a lawman. Satan is a lawman. And he demands skin for skin, tooth for tooth, eye for eye. Look here, Lord, he's doing that. You know what's required. You need to punish him. Lord, you know what the law says about this. You need to bring down your judgment on him. He's constantly bringing those accusations. And every accusation that he brings forth, listen, the accusations that he brings against us are true. They're true. He's not lying when he accuses us before the throne of God. Those are true accusations, that accuser of the brethren. But in every accusation that's brought forth, the Lord says, that one's paid for. I paid for that one. My blood was shed for that one. That was taken care of. It's never more to be remembered, Satan. I paid for that one. Over and over and over and over again, every accusation that is brought against the children of God, paid for. Paid for. Paid for. Here we have, in this vision, Zechariah standing before the Lord. There being accused by Satan here. And Zechariah is given this vision into this, seeing here Joshua the high priest being accused. And he says in verse 2, "The Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Israel rebuke thee. Is not this brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. This is what Satan was accusing for. He was accusing for the filth that was upon Joshua. That filth representative of the sins of Israel. Of the wickedness of Israel. And God declares to him, "This is my people. This is who I've chosen to myself, Satan." And so he rebuked Satan for his accusations that were brought there. And here Joshua stands in this priest garment, this very same priest garment that we're reading about here in Exodus 28, and all the beauty of this garment that is described to us here, and the ornate nature of it, the wonder of this, with all the precious stones and the gold woven into the linen, and all of these things that are part of this garment here. Here in this vision, Joshua is standing there with this garment on, and it's dirty and it's filthy before the presence of the Lord. And he says here to him, verse number 4, "He answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, speaking of the Lord Jesus, For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. So here he's describing this situation that Israel was in, that the priests themselves were in at this point, and he reminds them of what their purpose is. That they are to represent the Lord before the people of Israel. That they are to walk before Him in holiness and serve Him as they've been called to do. They're not to be a part of the wickedness of the world. They're not to be a part of the wickedness of Israel, because they are representing the children of Israel before the throne of God. They were those that were to be holiness to the Lord. And what we find is this warning that is given here in Zechariah. This warning that's given specifically to the priest here. How it is turned on its head. By the time you get to the New Testament and you have the priests living like they become consumed with their wealth. They become consumed with the riches that they can gain from the people. They are living off of the widows and the orphans that are a part of the land of Israel. They are preaching a religion of self-righteousness. They are not looking for the coming Messiah. They are not looking for the coming of the Lord. The only thing they're concerned with is keeping their power and keeping their riches. And they had totally went away from this covenant, from this direction that God had given them here in Zechariah chapter 3. They didn't look anything like what was commissioned here in Exodus chapter 28. In their work as the priests before the Lord. They were to represent the holiness unto the Lord. They were to be that before the Lord that would carry away the sin of the people. It was to give them this position that they might represent the Lord Jesus and what He would do when He would come. And by the time our Lord does come, by the time He is born in the likeness of sinful flesh upon this earth and lives here among them, they are showing no sign of what they are supposed to be showing in the representation of the Lord Jesus. He is the one that is the fulfillment of this work. He is the one that is the fulfillment of this carrying away our sin. He alone is the one who did this for us. The priests are just representing the picture of it. They were not able to carry away anyone's sin. They were offering at best a covering for a time. But they were representing what the Lord Jesus was going to do when He would come. Oh, when He would come, He's going to take away our sin. When He would come, He's going to fulfill this. He's going to carry it away from us, never more to be remembered again. When He would come, this work would be complete. This work would be finished. He would take it from us, that those sins would never more be brought before the throne of God. Oh, when He would come, He would at last bring a salvation that was not just a covering from year to year, but would be an eternal washing. That sin would be gone from us. This is the promise. This is the promise of what these high priest clothing was pointing to. Is that when Jesus would come in the fulfillment of these things, when He would come in the fulfillment of these things, nevermore would our sin be brought there before the throne of God. It's washed away, it's done, it's cast as far as the east is from the west from us. Our Lord completely fulfills and works this promise that is shown us here in the giving of the priestly garments. We go on to read there in verse 42 concerning the undergarments as well, even of the priests. The Lord commissioned every part to be made of their clothing, including their underwear. Now, the Mormons today claim that their priests wear holy underwear, and they claim that their underwear is holy. Their underwear is not holy. I just want you to understand that. Their underwear is not holy. If it is, they need to buy a new pair. It's a different kind of holy. But they do not have, even though that's what they claim for the Mormon priests, they do not have holy underwear. If there's ever an example of holy underwear, it'd be what is given here to the priest. It is to cover their nakedness, he says, verse 42. Thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins, even unto the thighs they shall reach. So even accounts for their undergarments, what's supposed to be worn to cover their nakedness. God's worship is to be in modesty, and it's to be in decency as we bring the worship of Him. He even goes on and describes the coat there in verse number 40, this tunic that was also a part of this. It was to be made, he says there, of fine linen. Thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, verse 39 there. And shalt make the mitre of fine linen, thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons, verse 40, thou shalt make coats. And thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt make for them for glory and for beauty. And so there was that tunic that was worn, that coat that was worn under the outer clothing of the high priest, of Aaron's sons as well. And so we see, as he describes here, verse 41, thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. This was to be done in this family. This was to be a continual work that they would perform before the throne of God. They were to be anointed for this work. They were to be consecrated for this work. They were to be set apart, sanctified, as he says, to do this work. They were not to live like the rest of the world, but they were to show forth the example of godliness for the people. As I said, by the time you get, it won't take very long, even here in the book of Exodus, before they turn that on its head. But especially by the time you get to the New Testament, it doesn't look anything at all like what it's supposed to look concerning the work of the priest. It says in verse 42, and thou shalt, or verse 43 rather, they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to the minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. If they came in with sin on them, God would kill them. They had to go through the process of cleansing. Now, again, it was only a covering, but God provided that covering for them until Christ Jesus would come and actually give the payment. Until that time, it was only a covering, but they had to come in properly covered. As they would come to do this work, as they would come to do this worship, they would have to come in properly covered, that they bear not iniquity and die. If they come in and they had misused, mishandled what God had given for them to wear, if they come in misused and mishandled in their lives, not giving account to the directions that God had given them concerning the sacrifices that He's about to start giving them and how they're to carry those out and conduct those, If they come in and not doing those things properly, they would die in the presence of the Lord. As I said, that's the reason they would tie a rope around the high priest, so that if he were to be killed by God, they would be able to drag him out without going in to get him. To be able to drag him out from the presence of the Lord. This was serious business, because they are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And God demands that that picture of Christ be shown clearly. That it be shown clearly by these priests as they go in and out to do this work. Not only is it Aaron that is to be clothed in the manner of the priest, but his sons as well, and his sons after him. Now, the one particularly that is described here in Exodus 28 is the garment of the high priest. His sons, those under priests that were under the high priest, theirs was not as ornate. It wasn't as fancy as Aaron's was here, but nevertheless, they also were to wear those garments that were given them. Theirs was more simple than the high priest, but they all consisted of the coat and the mitre and the girdle and the breeches. They're made of fine linen, all of those same things, but the pattern and the style were much simpler than what the high priest had. All of these things, again, as the Lord would say here in this passage, it shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. So this is how it was to be until the Lord would come, until he would fulfill these very things. This was that statute that was given of what the priests were to wear in the presence of the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. And so next time we'll take up with the offerings themselves, some of them, and the orders of the order of the high priest and how it is to be conducted, as it's given an account here in chapter number 29. I don't know if we'll try to cover all of chapter 29 at one time or not. It covers some different things, but it kind of covers them in general as far as the order of the sacrifices, the food that the priests are to eat and what's given for them to eat. Again, the order of the priests. And then we get into chapter 30. Chapter 30 specifically tells us how to worship. It describes what the worship of God would look like before the throne of God there. Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed.